Run for your lives. The lenders are coming. They're in the mailbox. They're overloading your email. They're on the phone. They won't be denied. The best rate, the biggest bargain, fewer points, too much information. Gold Coast Financial to the rescue. They can offload the overload and handcraft a loan that's...
This is the Quality News Network. In London, Prime Minister Tony Blair says he intends to pull out half of Britain's 7,100 troops in Iraq by the end of the year. The first contingent of returning soldiers go home in a few weeks. Denmark today also announced it will pull out its 470 troops, now stationed with British forces in southern Iraq. Two more American deaths in Iraq. A soldier was killed in combat in the Anbar province. Another soldier died of injuries sustained in a non-combat incident. In Najaf, south of Baghdad, a suicide car bomb near a crowded police checkpoint killed at least 11 people this morning. Another 43 were wounded. Following an expose by the Washington Post, political leaders vowed to improve conditions at the Walter Reed Army Medical Center. Filthy rooms, severe understaffing, and a sluggish bureaucracy are just some of the problems. In a related case, the former head of an injured soldier program at Walter Reed is under investigation for fundraising improprieties. He's accused of raising money for the Texas charity he now works for while he was being paid to do the same for Walter Reed. Iran ignores another U.N. deadline demanding it stop enriching uranium. Today, the country's lead negotiator said he was willing to talk about it, but Iran's president continues to demand that all nations, including the U.S., abandon their nuclear programs first. India and Pakistan have signed an agreement aimed at reducing the likelihood of either side using nuclear weapons against one another in their long-running territorial disputes. The details of the pact have not been released. The New York Times reports the Czech Republic and Poland say they won't back down in the face of Russia's saber-rattling response to President Bush's announcement he'll build ballistic missile defenses in their countries. A Moscow general yesterday warned the former Soviet satellite countries nuclear weapons could be pointed at them if they followed through on the U.S. proposal. The Los Angeles Times reports federal regulators in Texas are investigating conditions at America's decaying nuclear weaponry plant. Machinery is 40 years old. Workers complain of exhaustion. The roof leaks. The Energy Department admits multiple problems but says a conventional nuclear explosion is highly unlikely. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
Spinach, lettuce, and now mushrooms. Packages of fresh mushrooms from Wellesley Farms are being recalled for fears of E. coli. The products most affected were purchased between February 11th and 19th. Outbreaks of avian flu have been found in at least six farms within 30 miles of Moscow. The city's main poultry market has been all but shut down. Police roadblocks have been set up to turn away visitors to nearby farming villagers. A government report released today says the cost of health care in the U.S. will double in the next decade. The estimate is $4.1 trillion, much of it to be needed as baby boomers experience the effect of aging. January's Consumer Price Index will be announced this morning. Economists predict a 0.1 increase. Inflation last year decreased to its lowest pace in 3 years. Hewlett-Packard posted a 26% surge in quarterly profits. The California company says a significant portion of its $1.55 billion earnings came from increased laptop sales. The world's third largest mining company is reporting a record-setting $5.5 billion profit for 2006. Anglo American says decreased demand in the U.S. was more than offset by sales to China and India. Light sweet crude is trading at $58.39 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. You can find more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lutz.
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
Wake up! Everybody, get up. Come on, out of bed. Move it. Get to work. Get to school after the show. Get up. Come on. I see you over there. Pull those sheets off. Come on. There you go. Everybody's got to be awake for the show, damn it. How's everybody doing? I love to do that. I want to wake everybody up in the morning and get everybody going. Yeah, granted, it's like 10 o'clock on the East Coast. Okay, so everybody should have already been up, been to work, conquered a few countries, and come back home and has taken a nap. That is, if you were a real man, you'd do that, buddy. If you were a real man, that's what you'd be doing right now. I remember those old Army commercials. We do more before 7 o'clock in the morning than most people do all day, which is kind of sort of true, except most of what we do is sitting around waiting. Hurry up and wait. That was the motto that we used in the military. They were rushing out at 4 o'clock in the morning. We got to get to the pad so we can get there. We got to move. And you get there and you wait 14 hours before what we're supposed to do happens. Just once, I'd like to see the sergeant. I'd like to have seen the sergeant come in and say, well, you know, we got to get there, but there's no real rush. You know how things are. The general says he wants something. So, you know, whatever. How's everybody doing today? It is a beautiful day here in Chicago. The temperatures are supposed to reach in the 40s, which means a lot of this snow is supposed to melt away, which would be okay, I guess. Like I said the other day, snow, the thing about snow is when it first falls, it looks really, really pretty. Then after a couple of days, you're like, all right, let's get rid of it. Come on. Out. Shovel it all away. Let's go. My name is Joe Vecchio, and yes, I live here in Chicago, and I am the voice of the working man, or rather the kind of sort of unemployed man. My day job has been pretty much non-existent ever since Christmas, pretty much, and it is very annoying because I'm back having to look for other work again. And it really, really annoys me because every time I try to get settled in some sort of groove as far as work is concerned or anything like that is concerned, something always happens. And it's so hard to keep a steady job. I mean, the job I had with Siemens seemed like it was going to be very steady until they decided to shut the plant down and move it to Mexico. And I'd first heard kind of sort of rumors about it when I started working there. But, of course, you know, it was like $12 an hour plus benefits. Well, I didn't start that much. I started like 11 plus benefits. So, you know, everything was kind of cool. And you think, well, you know, this is what I need. And then, you know, I heard a couple other things and I realized that the place was not going to hang around anymore. And there were a lot of people working there who had worked there for a long time who were in denial about it, probably because they had been working for so long and got used to their own life that they didn't realize that forces in the outside world were slowly working their way towards areas that they hadn't touched before. I mean, back in the 60s and 70s and stuff, when people were doing, you know, when you had a job, you could at least support yourself. And especially if you were in an area where you could afford to pay not just rent for an apartment, but for a mortgage and a house and stuff like that. Because even my dad, who made, you know, nothing, really, $6.50 an hour, he could afford to to buy things and do things. And it was a situation that a lot of people just don't have today. We have to have two members of the household working. And my dad was the only one that worked for a long time. My mom later on, when we were old enough to go to school on our own and not have somebody there at the house all the time, she went to work for a while for the civil engineers, the American Society for Civil Engineers, which had an office right across the street from the United Nations, and I would go to visit her and look at the UN. But for the most part, you know, one person had the job, and that was it. And what happened in the rest of the world? Well, that was what happened in the rest of the world. And nowadays, it's starting to affect us. People who had very secure jobs are suddenly seeing them move out. The type of jobs that made America strong, ladies and gentlemen, manufacturing jobs, production jobs, middle management, things like that. The type of jobs that made America, American middle class, strong and powerful. They're all going away. They're going. And again, this is nothing against Mexicans or Vietnamese, but this is where those jobs are going. And, you know, a lot of people use that, and they use it for you know, racial stuff against the Mexicans. You know, they're the ones stealing our jobs. No, the Mexicans, ladies and gentlemen, are not the ones stealing your jobs. The Vietnamese and the Chinese are not the ones stealing your jobs. It's the people that make the policy, particularly in this country, the big business people. And, you know, all they just want the damn money, and they want to keep it forever. I was reading something about the inheritance tax, which the propagandists call the death tax, making it sound like, you know, when you die, they're going to take all your money, which is baloney. You don't even get taxed on inheritance until like $1.6 million. I don't know the exact number, but it's something like that. And some guy had a thing comparing all the money that would be saved by complete repeal of the estate tax, which is what it's really called. And the Walmart family, they would save like $37 billion over the next 10 years, which is, I think, more than what we spend for some social programs in this country. Not the whole thing, of course, but some individual things. And apparently the entire thing about the inheritance tax is being pushed by about 18 extremely wealthy families. And ladies and gentlemen, there was a reason that we had an inheritance tax, and there was a reason why we made it so that the more money you inherited, the more you got taxed. It's to prevent the creation of an aristocracy here in this country. What the New Deal people understood was that when the money is in the bulk of the middle class, things are better for everybody in general. Yeah, sure, maybe the few guys on tops can buy a few less yachts, but you know what? To that. And as far as I'm concerned, nobody makes that kind of money. It comes by it honestly anyway. I mean, Bill Gates became a billionaire not because he gave out a better product, but because he was more ruthless in advancing it. And because he was smart enough to know, you know, that you market it first to schools and the businesses where people you're going to use it mostly. You market the software. And then he had, you know, people use some pretty nasty tactics in order to maintain that dominance. And I'm sure, you know, Steve Jobs and the Mac people, I'm sure, you know, they've done some pretty nasty things during the course of their careers too. Nobody, regardless of what their intentions are now, gets that kind of money completely and totally honestly, ladies and gentlemen, and that's the plain truth. That's the plain truth. And here I sit just struggling to pay the rent and then to keep food on the family, so to speak, as Mr. Bush likes to say, and looking for work and just probably being too picky, which is my problem. Maybe I'm just being too damn picky. But you get tired of it after a while. You want that cycle to end, and it just seems to keep going and going. And before I continue on, and before we go to the break, which is coming up in a couple of minutes here, let me thank Agnes out there in the studio. I always say hi to Agnes. Hi to Agnes. And she was complaining that she fell asleep at the computer helping kids with the homework. Poor Agnes. She works so hard. And I want to say hi to everybody. Well, a couple of people. Who's in the chat? Just ELO. We got one person in the head-on chat room. Get in there. Headonradionetwork.com. Click on the chat room link, and you'll get in there, and you can talk. And I'm in there, too, if you want to say something to me that way. And if you want to email me, my email address is joe@cupjoe.com. Siemens.com if you've got news stories. People send me news stories all the time, and I use them sometimes. Sometimes I don't. It all depends on what my mood it is and how much money I'm bribed. And, of course, if you want to call into the show, if you've got something subject you want to talk about, I've got a few things I want to talk about, but nothing that's so written in stone that I can't deviate from it. The number is 1-877-443-2366. It's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. Feel free to give me a call and talk about anything that you want to talk about. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's some things that I'm going to be talking about today. I've got some stuff about Maureen Dowd coming up, because Maureen Dowd, more than any other of the Washington pundits, really pisses me off. Again, the number to call in, 1-877-443-2366. Don't leave me alone out here. Give me a call. We'll be back. It's a Beatles break here on the Cup of Joe Radio Show on the Head On Radio Network.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project, because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes, because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II, that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop, right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
At this moment, more than 800 million people are hungry. Millions more live in poverty. And you wonder, what can I do? Join the thousands of caring people who let Heifer International be their helping hands in the world. Right now, from Appalachia to Zimbabwe, Heifer is helping thousands of families become more self-reliant through the gifts of livestock and learning. Heifer provides farm animals that produce milk, eggs, and other products. That means milk to drink and products like cheese to sell. Having income means families can have better housing and health care, and their children can go to school. And recipients share their success, passing on the gift of their animal offspring to other families in need, ensuring dignity, self-reliance, and hope for the future. Find out how you can make a difference today at heifer.org. That's HEIFER.org.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, we're back here in the Cup of Joe Radio Show. Once again, I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man's thinking man, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Let's just go right to the phones. We've got Phil from Daytona on line one. Hey, Phil, pull up a chair. Have a cup of Joe.
Hey, thanks, Joe. I didn't catch all of your opening. Did you say you had served in the Army?
I was in the Air Force, actually, and I was in the Army Reserve before that.
Oh, okay. I'm a veteran myself, and, you know, I'm concerned, Joe, about how our military is just being totally abused. You know, we're sending kids over there four times to Iraq, and I'm not happy with the politicians on either side, Democrat or Republican, playing politics while these kids are, our military is getting destroyed.
Well, yeah, of course. I'm not sure what you know, and let's be clear. As much as I'm angry at the Democrats for being cowards and not sticking up for the military enough, it is the Republicans that are the ones that push for this war and push for these kids to go into combat. So let's make sure, you know, we're clear about that.
Oh, definitely. You know, I often, we demonstrate against the war down here. You know, I'm with the Veterans for Peace with the Central Florida chapter, and we buddy up with the Code Pink ladies and demonstrate every week for, gee, over a year now. And we confront people, you know, we say, you know, how the heck can you send other kids three or four times? Do you have your own kids over there? You know, and the answer from the people in the nice cars and the nice clothes and is, you know, well, they volunteered, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And here's the answer to, the, you know, there. Yes, they volunteered, but there's a sacred covenant, if that's the right word, that the people will not send our troops to war unless it's absolutely necessary and that the people have informed consent. You know?
Well, I think that because they're volunteers, you have to be more careful rather than just, you know, and of course you have to be careful in every instance, but you have to understand, Phil, mm-hmm. here's the real deal with the Bush administration and all of their people and the financial backers and the philosophical backers and all that. As far as they're concerned, sir, people like you are not even human. You're just little tools that they can move around so they can get more money and power.
And that's where the people are missing in this equation, because the people are not part of this equation. And that's allowing these neocons and, you know, wealthy elite to use our kids as just pawns and cannon fodder. And so we're trying to push what we do with Veterans for Peace and our efforts is not just hold signs on the street corner and say, you know, bring the troops home. We actually engage the public and try to educate them, you know, to what's happening and encourage them to get involved. So when the light turns red, we have flyers printed up, you know, whether it be the little information on the Downing Street memos or, you know, the even some 9/11 truth. Hey, anything to question this administration, there's plenty to question.
And oh, sure. Sure.
I think once you start questioning it, you know, you begin to question other stuff too. But
well, more and more people are waking up, fortunately.
And it's on us, Joe. We the people, and those of us who have that understanding, it's incumbent upon us to wake up our neighbors because man, they're whether they're honestly ignorant or willfully ignorant, we need to confront them. Because the politicians aren't going to bring these kids home unless there's enough of a fire under their ass.
And you know, when you consider that 60-something percent of the American public is dead set against us and do want the troops brought home, yet the politicians still are afraid to say anything about it, just goes to show that who's running things in this country, and it certainly isn't the people right now.
Yeah, and the people, I think a lot of that 60%, Joe, goes as far as answering the survey. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
their level of engagement stops there. And there's a lot of reasons. You know, the working man is working, what, a lot more hours for a lot less these days. There's,
sure.
There's no, the unions are busted. Everybody's afraid of losing their job. If you lose, you know, everybody's one paycheck away from you know, worrying about hitting, you know, being put out on the street.
I am right there, buddy. I am in the same boat, like with all those people. I'm not making any money off of this, that's for sure.
There you go. So I did want to plug a film that we're trying to promote that basically outs the PNAC guys who are still, even though some of them are left, you know, Wolfowitz has moved on and all that, the plan is still in place, and Cheney, you know, the Grand Master there, is still salivating for this attack on Iran. So the name of the film is Hijacking Catastrophe, and it's a little more than an hour in length, and you can actually watch it online if you go to google.com, hit the video tab, and type in Hijacking Catastrophe. And what we're trying to do is get people to actually order the film and show it in their public libraries. And sometimes a public library asks that you be a nonprofit, and Code Pink is a very good nonprofit active organization, and you're a member if you say you are. And we're encouraging folks to just call the library, go to hijackingcatastrophe.org and arrange to have them send you a film so you can do a public showing of it. And, you know, call your library, set aside the room. They have all the equipment, and promote it. You know, they'll post the flyers right in the library. You know, and people come in and out of the library all the time, and you can put a public notice in your newspaper. That's usually free also. And, you know, maybe you want to print up some flyers and hand them out one night on the street corner like we do and promote this thing. And what we've found, Joe, is that because of our activism and because we have local chapters of national name groups like Code Pink and Veterans for Peace, or now, you know, we're taken more seriously with the media, and we actually get local media coverage with things like this.
Well, that's really, really good, and I will definitely look into that. I'll go to that, hijackingcatastrophe.org.
And it part of the film actually talks about citizenship, and boy, do they out the plan, the PNAC plan. First was Afghanistan. People don't realize they had all the, you know, the strike forces sitting over there in July of 2001, 2 months before September 11th. That
right,
was,
they were all set. They wanted. And by the way, for my listeners who don't know what PNAC is, it means a Project for a New American Century, and it was a group that had such members as Dick Cheney, Wolfowitz, Doug Faith. I think it was Negroponte part of that group. I'm not sure.
I know Elliot Abrams. You
Abrams.
Know, Negroponte's right hand man. But the two co-founders were Rumsfeld and Cheney and Wolfowitz,
right,
and Libby, who's on trial, where their, you know, Feist's name's been coming up a lot lately in Libby's trial, and the Armed Forces IG, the Pentagon IG, did an investigation.
So you see, these are not like small potatoes people out, you know, somewhere in a little cubbyhole somewhere. These are major players.
And Bill Kristol and all these guys that are the talking heads, again, selling the need to take Iran now, they're all the Project for the New American Century. This film outs them. And it's not too long. You could show it house parties, your churches, you know, and it's this new re-release comes in the theatrical version, so you can even try to get your local independent movie theater or college movie theater to show it for a larger audience. And I really believe if we can get a critical mass with the people, and the only one that's going to be able to do that is the people, to educate ourselves, and we've got to get to a critical mass. They are so much in place to do Iran now.
Well, you know, Phil, I've believed for a long time that a political solution to what's going on in this country, that time may have already passed, but you never really know. I mean, things have certainly been worse for the American worker before as bad as we think we have it now, and we do have it bad. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But it is important to get the information. And Bob Herbert, in his column in the New York Times, said it perfectly right. He said, "Never mind the politicians. Politicians are going to come and politicians are going to go. If we're going to change things in this country, the people have to take it back, and they have to take their country back." And that's why I support things like what Governor Dean is doing, and getting campaign finance back into the hands of, you know, people like you and me instead of big corporations. It's the big corporations and the religious industrial complex,
yes,
that are causing a lot of these problems here. Listen, Phil, I hate to break you off because it's been a great conversation.
Time,
no problem. We got the bottom of the hour coming out. We got to pay some bills ourselves. Phil from Veterans for Peace.
Yes.
And that's hijackingcatastrophe.org, right?
Yes, please, folks. Get out and educate your fellows and, you know, there's still a chance to prevent Iran from happening.
I hope so. Because I want to stop it too. We don't need it. All right, let's take a little break. Thank you, Phil. Take care, Phil, ladies and gentlemen, from Veterans for Peace and also with Code Pink. All right, we'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here in the Head On Radio Network.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at headonradionetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
Headonradionetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at headonradionetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Must have been prayer meeting with Reverend Brother Bob.
See, hey, Peter, welcome to the program.
You absolutely know that you cannot mention Robert Sunday without conjuring me. This is the known fact.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. Well, sometimes I do it on purpose.
You know, the thing that kills me, God just continues to punk Robertson. after time, and it goes back for years. You know, let's talk a minute about his business venture. From 91 to 94, he was involved in something called Calo Vita, and it was a multi-level marketing company that breached that pyramid scheme.
Yeah, like Amway.
Sold beauty products and healthcare products. Oh, they had a product called Sea of Galilee Mud Mask.
No, they did not.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
You no.
Bob, as a heart attack, I'm serious.
Sea of Galilee Mud Mask?
Oh, yes. It was part of the product line.
Prayer meeting edition of Head On with Bob Kincaid, Wednesday nights, 6 to 9 p.m. here on the Head On Radio Network. Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
This is The Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here on the Cup of Joe Radio Show, and I want to thank Phil from Veterans for Peace for calling in, because, you know, we really need that. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, these are veterans. These are people who have actually gone out and served in their country's military. Some of them served in combat. And usually when they have an organization like that, it's people who have served in combat. Now, I was a veteran, but I wasn't a combat soldier. Okay, I'm not going to sit there and claim that I'm an Audie Murphy war hero or anything like that. You know, because I wasn't, and I was never going to be in a position where I was going to be in combat. I mean, if it ever got to that point, we'd already lost. If they're putting a rifle in my hand, I'm like, you know, where's the exit? Okay, it's gotten that bad. But I did serve my country, just like my father served my country, and I have a lot of cousins and uncles and nephews who also served in the military. I had a cousin who was a paratrooper in Vietnam. Most of my uncles served in World War II, my Uncle Joe, my Uncle Vito, and they all did their part. And they didn't really, you know, especially in World War II, they didn't really want to go to war. Nobody really, no soldier really wants to go to war, at least the sane ones anyway. But they felt an obligation for it. And, you know, one of the reasons the military is stretched in is because, you know, the military can't reach its recruiting goals. And the reason why it can't reach its recruiting goals is because a lot of the people who really should be fighting this war, that is the people who scream loudest and strongest about, you know, we got to kill those brown people, they're the ones who are not fighting it. Okay? You know, and it's really, and it really amazes me that they continue to get away with this on such a regular basis. And it's just, you know, that they're cowards. They're absolute cowards. And in a sane country, in a sane world, these people would have no part in our national discourse. And yet, a lot of times, they are the ones in the back behind the scenes controlling stuff. If you go to a right-wing chat room or visit right-wing websites, you hear them talk all wonderfully about how war is great and this and that and that and this. And, oh, you know, if we don't kill them, they'll kill all us, blah, 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 blah. And yet, when the time comes for them to hold up their hand and swear the oath, where the hell are they? Where the hell are they? Now, Veterans for Peace is one of many really good organizations that deal with issues dealing with veterans. But here's one that's also very good. It was started by the blogger Jesus General, which is one of the funniest blogs out there. And that's patriotboy.blogspot.com. That's Jesus is General. That's really, really funny and really well put together blog. But he started an organization called Operation Yellow Elephant, and that's operationyellowelephant.blogspot.com. And again, all I'm doing is reading off websites, but that's okay. Well, you can just do a Google search for Operation Yellow Elephant. Okay, and basically what it is, it's an attempt to go out and recruit right-wingers, either right-wing, not necessarily politicians, but their sons and daughters, right-wing bloggers and other writers who are of age to serve and who have never served in the military, to go out there and put their name on the dotted line, hold up their hand, and swear the oath. And you know what? You know what? They're not doing it. Because they're all cowards, ladies and gentlemen. Look, you know, I'll sit here and you know, and I can bitch and moan about how Democrats are not strong enough to stand up to these guys, and they aren't. And there's reasons for that, but like I told Phil, the real reason for all the problems that we've had is because of the Republicans. They're the ones that put the soldiers in harm's way. And they're the ones that control the purse strings. I'm not so much the Republicans themselves, but the financial people behind the Republicans. They control the purse strings of a lot of the big pundits and reporters, and because they pay them so much money, they live in a completely different world. They live in a completely different world. And that way, when you have a good politician like Al Gore, someone who was eminently qualified to be president, he gets smacked down by the Washington Press Corps, especially, and I want to bring her up now because I was going to talk about her earlier, but it really cheesed me off. The other day I was talking about the wise old men of Washington. You know, we knew everything there is to know, and we so totally loved Mr. Bush and his nice little boy. And Mr. Reagan, who fed us such wonderful food. But the worst of the lot is the New York Times' Maureen Dowd, or Modo, as she's known, or as Bart Cobb calls her, the Dragon Lady. And she was the one You know, Al Gore, ladies and gentlemen, Al Gore is so boring. I don't want him to be president. He's so boring. He was at the cocktail party and he was talking over these silly little policies about numbers and about the global war. And that's not nice. Oh dear, my hair is curled up. It's a Democrat's fault. Ooh. And you know something? She claims to be a political columnist, or at least a New York Times advertiser or such, but all she is a gossip, you know? And if you do anything to piss her off, like maybe suggest that she should be maybe fact-checking something or doing her job, then she gets all prissy on you. She got all prissy at Barack Obama because Obama had the nerve to complain that she was writing war about him with a picture of him in Hawaii that was in some magazine. You know, he was like, you know, in a bathing suit or something, you know? And so he was so testy at his news conference. I'm not sure if I like him very much. Look at him. He was very mean to me, so I'm going to write all these things nasty against him. Somebody ought to smack her. Just go up there and just smack her a good one. Right in the cheek. I saw her on TV once giving a thing, and she's very soft-spoken. And you kind of feel sorry for her because she's kind of very soft-spoken in public. And you can tell she works very hard putting on all of her makeup and getting her hair so that it's just in place, right? You know, I looked at her hair and I thought, you know, you could bounce stuff off of that. But she's a gossip columnist, ladies and gentlemen. She goes through her little cocktail parties. And you know, it's like I mentioned on my blog. And by the way, my blog is cupofjoe.blogspot.com, cupofjoe.blogspot.com. I mentioned she's kind of like Mrs. Robinson from The Graduate. You know, she'll take a newcomer, you know, someone like Barack Obama, and she'll say, come on, take me home. You know, would you like me to seduce you? And of course, anybody says something about it, you know, she puts them in a position to ruin their lives, and that's what she tries to do. You know, we can't have Al Gore be president. Well, you know, I hope things are not boring for you there now, Mordo. I hope things are not boring. I hope you explain to the parents of the 3,000 soldiers, American soldiers who died in Iraq, because you helped pave the way for Mr. Bush to get into office in the first place. You know, I don't know exactly what would have happened if Al Gore had gotten into office. I am pretty certain, however, that if Mr. Gore received a memo from the intelligence department saying Bin Laden determined to strike in U.S., he would not take a month-long vacation. Ladies and gentlemen, there's so much we don't know about the real events leading up to 9/11 and immediately afterwards. But I'll say this for certain, that there is certainly enough evidence to convict the entire Bush administration, the bulk of the Republican leadership, and the bulk of their financial backers for what they did after. And a lot of the press, too. Now, I don't think, you know, Ms. Dowd should be in the docket. I read the speech that I read yesterday for the fictional president of the future apologizing for all the screw-ups we had. And in the newspaper headline that I had, the phony newspaper headline, a bunch of the Bush administration and their people were in the docket being held for war crimes, just like we did at Nuremberg for the Nazi leaders, and some of their press people, too. Joseph Sturm was his name? Der Sturm was the name of his newspaper. I forget his name. But he was a newspaper editor, and they put him on trial, and they executed him, too. Now, I don't think Modo belongs in that category. I mean, to me, that category, you know, the ones you want to put on trial are the guys like Limbaugh and Hannity and Britt Hume and all the people who have been you know, pushing for this war and who have been demonizing anybody who disagrees with them on those lines as traitors. They ought to be put on trial. And, you know, if it's determined that they had a significant part to play, then their asses ought to be thrown in jail, period. Now, I'm a believer in due process, okay? Unlike, you know, the right wing, which would just, you know, if they had the power to do it, they'd throw me in jail right now. They'd send some thugs over to the joint and come over here and just toss me in a cell and lock away the key. Hell, they're doing that with Arab Americans anyway, whether they're American citizens or not. But these guys are guilty of war crimes. And Modo does not belong in that, but she should never be in a position of where she is now as a major player in the Washington press corps. She shouldn't be. Anyway, enough bitching about people who make more money than I've ever seen in my entire life. You got one more chance to get a phone call in if you want. 1-877-443-2366. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. If you've got something you want to talk about, it's your last chance for today. All right, we'll be back with more on the Cover Joe Radio Show on the Head On Radio Network.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAV40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Goofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Do you believe the environment is issue number one? Does the idea of genetically modified food cause you to lose your appetite? Do you prefer green over greed? Do rising sea levels and vanishing polar ice cause you concern about our planet and what we are doing to it? Would you like news with attitude on the environment, organics, renewable sources of energy? Well, then join me, John Fox, for Foxed Up. Weekdays, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. in the UK, and 9 a.m. here in Sydney, where conversation radio becomes conservation radio, and we turn it straight up to 11, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
The University of Nebraska is a virtual world leader in the field of distance education, and that they bring highly interactive learning right into the homes of students in all 93 Nebraska counties, all 50 states, and 135 countries around the world using the latest computer website technology? I guess the lesson here is, no matter where you live, there's no place like Nebraska. The University of Nebraska, Lincoln.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, we're back. There we go, you're back. I try to time it so I do it when the volume comes down and I don't always get it right. Hey, I'm new with this, what can I say? That was a latent Puffy Yami Yumi break. Because I'm only doing 1 hour now instead of two, we don't have the usual breaks that I'm used to having, and it's okay, you know. But I'm petitioning for more time. I'm just saying I want more time. And please give me more time on the air, because if I don't get more time on the air, I get the runs. Yes, Agnes, I know you played. You played the Teen Titans thing for me. I love that little piece. I love, you know, people sometimes ask me what kind of music that I like, and mostly I like good old-fashioned rock and roll from the 60s and 70s. I like the kind of Blues Brothers rhythm and blues that you hear at the beginning, the Sweet Home Chicago song, which is a wonderful, wonderful. I love happy songs along those lines. I like some classical music. I like what I call heavy metal classical, which is usually full orchestras, a lot of Beethoven, a lot of Wagner, and I know Wagner was the music of choice for the Nazis. I'm sorry, but I like the music. What can I say? And Wagner himself was massively anti-Semitic. I like swing music. Swing music is really, really good. And what I like about that little Teen Titans theme is that it's just pretty much pretty much just straightforward little rock and roll. You know, it's a lot of drums, a lot of guitars. Very, got a very retro sound to it, too. So I really enjoy it. And I like all of the music that I play in between the little drop music here. I pick all of it. So, anyway, I didn't want to ramble on too much about that. God, there's so many things going on. It's so easy to be negative in this world of ours, ladies and gentlemen. It is so easy to be negative, to look back, and it's so hard to find good things going on. And no, I'm not using that as a pretext to bring up a good thing, because quite frankly, I can't think of very many. And I mentioned earlier when I was talking to Phil, I said, look, you know, American workers have it bad now, but not as bad as it used to be. I mean, you know, before the days of the child labor laws, and before the days of the minimum wage and the minimum work week and the overtime laws and things like that, you know, you talk about things being bad, things were really, really, really bad. And we didn't have any kind of liberal history to fall back on back then. So all of the stuff that was done, the progressive stuff that was begun by Teddy Roosevelt and really reached its peak during the New Deal years, they hadn't been tried before. And I remember, and I mentioned the conservative constitution that I put together, and realistically speaking, conservatives believe that government only has three purposes: to maintain an orderly society that keeps people in their place, to defend the borders, and to protect the rights of property, privilege, and profit. To their minds, those are the only things, and everything else is up in the air. You can have your laws, and you can have rights or whatever, but rights really only fall into play among equals in power. This goes back to, this is from the Melian Dialogues 2,500 years ago. I don't want to get too much into detail about that, but basically it's the powerful saying, look, this is how it is, you know, live with it, deal with it. And that's what the conservative, and they talk about being, you know, they talk about laws and rights and stuff like that, but they don't really mean it, because everything is advantage and disadvantage. Real politic. And that's what they believe. And if you're a working person, if you really don't have any ambitions above and beyond, you know, doing your job, supporting your family, and maybe leaving something to your kids later on, then you're screwed in that world. Because if you don't have that ambition, you're not going to, you know, really work towards getting positions of great power, and so you're at the mercy of these people. So what we liberals do, we try to build a government and a society that protects you from people who want to control your lives and run your lives. We want to build institutions, and we work to build institutions and social infrastructures that try to negate the worst aspects of human nature, whereas conservatives try to build social infrastructures and societies that celebrate the worst aspects. And that's the huge difference. That's the biggest difference between what it means to be a conservative and what it means to be a liberal. Whether you call yourself a progressive or a liberal, or whether you call yourself a conservative or even a Republican. You know, the Republicans are just Republicans. You know, they're conservative in general, but mostly they're just in it for themselves. But it's really part of that. And if you go out there, as Bill Clinton used to say all the time, if you go out there and you work and you play by the rules, you should expect to get compensated for it properly. Okay, and it's a problem with a lot of people. They work hard and they play by the rules and they assume that they're going to get rewarded for it, and very often they're not. Their companies are stealing from them. I was reading an article by some jerk-off, some DLC-type jerk-off, you know, talking about how, you know, we really shouldn't alienate Walmart shoppers because, you know, out there in the boonies, Walmart is sacrosanct. You know, yeah, the people love to go in there and pay low prices. Well, guess what? That's the only place they can afford to go because of Walmart, low prices are the only thing they can afford, because Walmart lowers the bar for everything. Walmart wants to drag everybody down to the lowest levels. They steal from their employees. There are lawsuits going out. They have been convicted of stealing from their employees. They employ the most devious tactics, both overseas in their plants where the products are made, and here in this country, by Just little things. Like, for example, if you've been working there for a long time, they'll try to do things to try to make you quit. Especially if you're an older person, they'll make you, like, stand up all the time. And not, you know, and take less breaks so that you'll be annoyed enough to quit so that they can fire you. You'll go, or as I said, you'll quit. And then they'll hire somebody to work a lot cheaper and not have to pay medical benefits and stuff like that. This is how they operate. You wonder why they made profits the way they do. This is how they do it. Because all they care about are their shareholders and their executives. And Agnes just pointed out to me, and I'd forgotten about this because I think I saw it in the movie, Walmart, The High Cost of Low Prices. They take out life insurance policies on their employees. Can you believe that? And yet they get away with it. And people worship them. I see people who really are the type of people who are hurt by places like Walmart sing Walmart's praises left and right. And I just shake my head. And I just shake my head because they have no idea what they're doing. But it's, I guess it's easier to go to Walmart to pay low prices for assorted crap than it is for people to stick up for one another and to maybe unionize or to just to work together so that they get more money and more benefits so that they don't have to buy from the lowest prices and have a government that supports small businesses and local businesses instead of promoting these big mega corporations who turn around and they take all the subsidies that they get from the government, supposedly to help produce jobs, but they take that and they use it to fund political action committees and lend lobbyists so that they can get even more tax breaks and more subsidies. There's something wrong with this, ladies and gentlemen. There has been something wrong with it. And it's really up to us to put a stop to it. If you work at Walmart, quit. Don't work for them. Never mind about being unemployed. Times are tough for a lot of people. And sometimes that's the price you got to pay. Walmart shouldn't have anybody to work for them. It should be so bad they should start offering people tons of money to start come to work for them, and they should allow unions, because otherwise they couldn't make a penny without you. Don't you realize that? Walmart couldn't make a penny without the people who work for them. And the same is true of every other big corporation, especially when you're talking about retail. They couldn't make a penny without you. That's the big secret they don't want you to know. That's the reason why they fight so hard against unions. That's the reason why they fight so hard against unions. And if you go down south, you hear them all talk, well, you know, if you're a union, you're a communist. If you're a union, you're a communist. Well, you know what? You guys work harder for less money and for less vacation time than anybody in the country. And you're worse off than anybody else in the world. You continue to worship the people who are doing that to you. And until that changes, and I know there's a lot of good people down south, my friend Sarge and all that, and I know there's a lot of good people down there, and there's a lot of intelligent people, and I'm not digging on everybody down there, but frankly, there's enough of the morons down there to keep control of the state governments and to keep these places in business down there. Anyway, enough ranting and raving. We got a couple minutes left. Let me say my thank yous. Once again, let me thank the lovely and wonderful and beautiful and every positive adjective I can think of, Agnes Kincaid out there in West Virginia, for producing the show, getting up so early in the morning to do it. I want to thank Ben Birch from the White Rose Society. It's whiterosesociety.org. And if you missed this show, you can listen to it on the archives from whiterosesociety.org. Just go to my site where it says the Cup of Joe Radio Show, in my little spot on there. My blog is cupofjoe.blogspot.com. My email address is cupjoe. Excuse me. My email address is joe@cupjoe.com, joe@cupjoe.com. If you've got any news stories or anything you want to send to me that I can talk about on the air for the time that I have. I want to thank all the hosts and all the people, of course, of Head On Radio Network, Bob Kincaid, for starting it, and all of our great and wonderful hosts. And who's coming up next? Jeff Allen Wolf is coming up next here on all of your Head On Radio Network stations. And we've got a wonderful lineup. In the meantime, you all take care. I will be back for you tomorrow with more stuff. And in the meantime, all of you, now that you're out of bed, get back to work.
You're listening to the Venture 3 Radio Network.
Support for Iraq buildup up slightly. Edwards urges direct talks with Iran. Democrats vow to seek limits on Iraq war. Snow disputes claim that Iraq is a blunder. Bush vows cooperation on health care. Bush compares revolutionary and terror wars. Iran fires missiles in new round of war games. Al-Qaeda chiefs are seen to regain power. Bush expects to return, or rather Rice expects to return to Middle East. U.S.-Iran attack plans revealed. McCain says Rumsfeld was one of the worst. John will say anything to get elected. McCain says Iraq war mismanaged for years. Come on, John, get those votes. McCain says Roe v. Wade should be overturned. Sounding kind of desperate, aren't you, John? McCain makes conflicting statements on abortion. Is John confused? Or just desperate to get his votes in for the nomination for the Republicans? Russian missile blackmail won't work, checks say. Clinton objects to Confederate flag. And some mole idea over of Senator Bill Clinton. Intriguing, Senator Bill Clinton. These are the issues ahead on the Jeff Allen Wolf Show, starting now.